sit down, boys, if I get a treat for you.
Fighting the fight when it comes to technology. We are the knights of the kingdom of geekery. We rise up when it comes to the challenge of discussing all this nerd knowledge. We are the Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. We bring information with lots of laughter. Tune in now if that's what you're after. Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. With Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
Welcome to Digital Soup. I hate myself.
Okay, let me start over.
He's going to leave that in, you know.
Hey, guys, welcome to the Digital Soup Podcast, the only podcast that, once again, doesn't have Jason in it. Wait, there's probably quite a few that don't have him in there.
Just a few, yeah.
Yep. So this is one of the three hosts. This is Adam. And as always, in the virtual studio, we have usually Dave.
Yeah.
But we don't have Jason. Jason is out due to a transformer being blown out, and he has no power at his house.
And no power. It blew.
It's a transformer. It blew. So, unfortunately, Jason will not be on the show for this episode due to time constraints and everything like that. But we have a fantastic show lined up for you guys, and we are looking forward to doing that. So, real quick, we want to give a shout out to Jeff, who is our latest Patreon tipper. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
So I think in addition to the shout out, does he get to pick a movie that we have to review?
I believe, yeah, the tier he was at, I believe he gets to pick a movie review. So yep. Vincent, we've got Big Lebowski later this month. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Vincent, our first Patreon tipper. He has actually recommended his movie. Now, whether he wants to change that before recording time or not, I hope not, because this one is so terrible, it'll be fun to review. But then we need Jeff's.
Yep. Okay. So, Jeff, if you want to reach out to us, let us know. do we want to say which movie Vincent wants us to watch?
Let's hold on to it in case he changes his mind.
We'll hold on to that then. Speaking of movies.
Yeah.
The Joker, which is coming out into theaters, isn't only in theaters, we should say. The Joker is also on some Android phones.
Right. Jason will be happy. He can watch it on his 10-inch tablet. Actually, no, he has an iPad, though, doesn't he? No. We talked about the movie last week, but there's a new... it's not a virus. What do they call it? I guess a virus. Malware,
yep.
That's hit the Android store and is called Joker. And it's going wild on Android right now. From what I understand, you know more about it. So,
yeah, I did a little bit of research on this. It looks like they found this malware in 24 applications in the Play Store. Google's already taken those apps out, which is really good. But over 400,000 people downloaded and used this. And so what it did is it inserted some code in between... It basically behind the scenes, and it had the ability to intercept traffic that was related to like ads and things like that, as well as like your SMS messages. So for example, the malware could reach out and try to subscribe you to a service, and it would also intercept the SMS message that they would send confirming that you are subscribing, and it would then respond back. So basically it's sitting there subscribing you to stuff behind the scenes. Very, very nasty. Now, here's the weird thing. I could not find anywhere a single article through all my searching that identified which of the applications this was in before.
Oh, really?
Every single story I looked on, I mean, go Google this thing. Every story you look at, it's like, oh, they found 24 apps and they're all taken care of now.
Oh, boy.
I found one person on Twitter that had a screenshot. And so the apps are as follows from his screenshot. This is credit to Lucas Stefanko. Beach camera, collate face scanner, antivirus security scan app lock, by Fernando Rivera, Ignite Clean, Ruddy SMS, Advocate Wallpaper, Print Plant Scan, Humor Camera, Great VPN, Climate SMS, Spark Wallpaper, Dazzle Wallpaper, Cute Camera, Board Picture Editing, Leaf Face Scanner, Rapid Face Scanner, Display Camera, Declare Message, Sobe Camera, Alter Message, Age Face, Reward Clean, Certain Wallpaper, and Mini Camera. All really, really generic. I'm going to actually post a link. I don't know who this person is that tweeted it, but this post, we should probably have a link to.
Yeah.
I'll include that in the show notes. So, folks, perfect. If you have this, any of these applications installed, go on, install them immediately. I don't know if Google Play, by removing it, will prompt that to be removed from phones or not.
That's a good question.
You never know. You never know. Particularly nasty virus, though, doing very malicious things. From what they could tell, there was a very, very lengthy article on Medium.com that kind of went over how they discovered it and some of the actual exploits. And they're seeing some comments in the code and stuff like that written in Chinese. They have some suspicions of where it originated from, but nobody knows for sure.
That's not good. It makes me happy I'm on Apple.
Yeah. I'll pay the premium for Apple to not have that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not like stuff can't happen on Apple, but
true.
It just seems like you see this stuff so much more often, you know, with Android and other things like that. So be aware for Joker. When does the movie hit theaters again? Do you remember?
That is a great question, Dave.
It's got to be soon. Dun, 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 dun. I know we talked about it a little bit last week in our live in-studio extravaganza with our guest Jesse there, but to be honest, go ahead.
Oh, continue your thought.
Oh, I was going to say, to be honest, I listened back to that episode and I was laughing pretty good because so much of it I didn't even remember us talking about.
And I have not finished watching or listening yet.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, it was a mix of things because I was trying to do some Instagram story stuff and all of that. So I'd be filming sometimes and kind of trying to listen, but half listening. But I knew the three of you were able to keep it going. And, you know, as everyone knows, there's plenty of my voice on this show typically. So figured great chance for you guys just to take it. I'll do some Instagram story stuff. But not only that, but Jason was so off the rails.
Somebody put a quarter in him.
Yeah, it was nuts. And I was just, I was so like laughing so hard the whole time and just shaking my head that I forgot half of what we talked about. But all in all, I think it was good. Although we're going to call him out and we're going to make fun of him a little because he's not here and we can do that. And he said we can make fun of him this episode.
Yeah, but he's editing. Uh-oh.
Yeah, he'll probably cut this all out anyways, but I did laugh. He had a hard time getting it all edited, and he couldn't figure out. He said, I don't know what's going on. My voice is the only one that did it, but it's on everyone's tracks. And I was just laughing because he was, like you said, someone put a quarter in him, and he was so wound up, which was awesome. I mean, I get it. It was really cool for us to be able to hang out. So I get it, you know, from that side of it too, being excited and whatnot. But yeah, he was like the volume was cranked up to 12 that day. And I was just laughing like, yeah, of course you bled through on everyone's tracks. You could have done one mic for you.
Yeah, we could have put a mic in the middle.
Right. You know, at the end of the day, it worked out good. I thought everything sounded pretty good. And considering we don't record live in studio like that often,
it's only happened twice, folks.
Yeah, twice only. And so I think it went well. It was a good surprise. And I know it sounded like Jesse had a blast coming on too. So that was awesome.
It was awesome to have him on there. August, we got to get Vincent on. October 4th is the date. All right.
October 4th.
October 4th is when the Joker comes out. Again, I'm not too excited. I'm not sure I'll see it, but I mean, I do like Joaquin Phoenix. I think he's a good actor.
I do too, and like I said last week, the only thing that I think as a movie, it's going to be fine. But I also think that it could be a really interesting movie, even if it wasn't the Joker and trying to settle into this, you know, comic book world. Just if you think of this as if it wasn't the Joker, just some deranged guy that's going through all of this stuff. Fascinating movie concept. And it could be really good. And the visuals I've seen, I think it's going to be a visual treat. I really do. It looks so beautiful, the scenes that we've seen so far. It's just one of those films that, I don't know. I did hear a rumor though that this movie could potentially have a tie into a Batman Flashpoint story. Do you remember what the Flashpoint story is?
No, I don't.
So basically they went in and Barry Allen as the Flash goes back. He's always going back in the timeline and he changes something and he messes it all up. Well, there's a particular storyline called Flashpoint where he goes back and changes things. And what happens is that Bruce Wayne's dad doesn't die in that alley. He essentially lives and he becomes Batman. Only he is a Batman that doesn't have the moral code of the Batman we know. Like, he's using guns. He's straight up killing people.
Sweet.
And so it's a very hardcore story. And it affects every single superhero in storyline in the DC universe. But if they're going to look to do that, because if you remember, Jason's news last week was about Extra Miller and his Flash movie, Ezra Miller. But that's rumored to be potentially a Flashpoint story. So it could actually tie in, even though the Joker takes place back in the 70s. So we'll have to see what happens. So what else, what did we want to do today? Because we were talking about it. All of our schedule change kind of happened last second, you know?
I think we're going to talk a little bit about some of the greatest action movies of all time.
Heck yes.
We've got a list to discuss. I did want to throw out there, I just thought of this, because you mentioned how you like the cinematography of that or the look of it.
Yeah.
I watched the movie, First Man. Have you seen this? It's got Ryan Gosling. It's about Neil Armstrong going to the moon.
Oh, yeah. It just won. Didn't it win some Oscars or something?
I'm not sure, but I mean, I can see why it would. It was very good. If you haven't seen it yet, somehow they captured the, even though it's high def, they still made it look like the 60s. I don't know how they did it, but I was actually, as I watched it, I thought of you because I was like, oh man, now Dave's got me critiquing cinematography, but it's
not critiquing, it's enjoying.
Well, no, that's, you know what I mean? It's, yeah. I don't, it was things that I didn't notice before. Is what I mean. And so now that I'm noticing it, it's like, oh man, they really made it look cool. Like, you think of the 60s pictures that they took from NASA and some of that stuff. Somehow they got that look, even though it's HD. Fantastic movie.
Spielberg, I'll have to watch that because, I love when things are shot well and just look good like that. It just an extra element to the story for me.
I'm not a fan of shaky cam, I'll tell you
no.
that. This one was recorded with a lot of handheld. But it also had a really cool look to it. So, I mean,
okay.
So, some of that was okay, but my daughter commented like, oh, the camera keeps moving. Nowhere have I seen that worse than Battle Los Angeles, which I really liked as a dumb popcorn flick.
Battle of Los Angeles. But, I mean, Angeles,
they had the aliens invade. Oh. The Marines.
Yep.
The shaky cam was so bad. A buddy of mine I went to the theater with, he was like, I can't do it. He got up and he left.
Oh, wow.
I mean, even the scenes where they're sitting in an office and two people are talking, like in somebody's office, the camera's just constantly moving and zooming in and out a little bit and just like, stop.
I
don't need to do this.
I don't love it through an entire film, but when you watch most movies, you'll see that a lot of these cinematographers that are, you know, super good at what they do, they'll use it selectively within the film just at certain points to emphasize something.
Right, to augment like action or something that's really jarring. That's where they're using it properly, to move the story forward, not constantly because they think it looks cool.
Yeah, so, and there's a flip.
It's like salt. You have too much of it, it's going to ruin it.
Well, exactly, and there's a flip side to that too when you see now, you know, you look at any YouTube star or, you know, anyone doing this stuff, even filmmakers, they want to put everything on these super smooth motorized gimbals and stuff, which is beautiful sometimes, but same thing, it can be overdone and it makes everything just feel so like static and boring.
Does every shot have to be a smooth sliding or a crosshatch shot?
Exactly. Yeah. I believe every shot should be like Clerks from Kevin Smith, you know, just no, you know, I rewatched.
Hey, speaking of him, what's he doing?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Big news. If you're into Prince Adam and the world of what is it? Eternia.
Eternia, Cringer.
Yeah, Cringer. Kevin Smith, it's been announced now, and he's been all over Twitter talking about it for a week or two. He has, it's officially come out, the news that he has been put in charge of kind of redoing or rebooting, or I'm not sure if it takes place after. I don't know the details on the story, but he's going to jump in and play in the world of He-Man with a brand new Netflix series.
Animated or live action?
Animated.
Okay.
Yep, it's going to be animated, and he's basically kind of running the show, you know, stories and everything else. He's a huge fan of He-Man, which I think is cool because we should get a pretty traditional take on it, although it'll be interesting because, you know, he's known for dialogue. And when you think back, think back to
some of those. It's just Orko and She-Ra going back and forth.
I'm not even supposed to be here today. And that's what Cringer's gonna say. Oh, geez, Adam.
Wow.
But I think it'll be interesting because when you look at those old the classic cartoons that we remember from when we were kids, there's a lot of really, really pretty funny banter that happens and dialogue. You know, Skeletor had some had some great lines. And a lot of these things were there. I'm excited for it. And yes, I am, you know, unashamed that I am a huge Kevin Smith fan and will watch just about anything he does. Doesn't mean I'll love it, but I'll check it out because I believe the dude, if nothing else, he is he's completely one of those people that is, he's always going to support and he's always going to just, you know, be a proponent of, if you have an idea and there's something you want to see, don't wait for someone else to make it. Just do it yourself because no one else will make it the way you can see it. And I love that viewpoint. And seeing him be able to go play in a sandbox like this with He-Man, something he loved as a kid growing up, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I had a lot of He-Man toys when I was a kid. We had Castle Grayskull, Battle Action Skeletor, regular He-Man. I had, I think we had Man at Arms. Is that what it was?
Man at Arms,
Had a weird guy with two heads. I don't remember who he was.
We
had the Falcon thing that.
Yeah.
What was He-Man's mom's name?
What was her name? Princess. Oh, shoot.
I'm really going to Google He-Man's mom. Okay. Here we go. Queen Marlena. What was she?
Yeah.
Sorceress of the Castle of Grayskull. What was.
The sorceress?
Yeah.
No, that's not his mom. She's separate. The sorceress.
What am I thinking of?
Yeah, the sorceress is totally different.
Okay.
Yep.
Tila.
Tila is the queen.
That's what I was thinking of. She had that bird that she'd fly around, right?
I think so, yep.
So, yeah, I had a lot of that stuff. And I remember one time I took my He-Man guy and I had like this modeling clay and I pressed it all around him. And I'm like, he's going to be able to break out. Huge mistake. Could never get all the clay out of his dang muscles. He is so ripped. just terrible.
Yeah. I trying to think who I had. I didn't have a Skeletor. I had a regular He-Man and I had a Battle Action, you know, like that's the one with the chest thing, right?
Yep.
You hit it one strike and two strikes. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
I had that. I had, no Skeletor. I had a regular He-Man and the Battle Armor He-Man. I had Man at Arms and I had you'd twist him at the waist and his neck would pop way high up. I'm looking to see if I can find him.
I don't remember Buzz, that one.
Hordak, yeah. Cobra Khan, I had him. He was a fun character. I always loved it because you'd pop his head off and you'd fill up his chest cavity, basically, and his mouth, you'd put the head back on, and it was like almost like you think of a little spritzer bottle, and you push his head down, and it would spray a mist out of his mouth like a
spider. That's the lizard venom. Guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Cobra Khan, he was a snake, obviously, but
Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai. I didn't have Stratos, but see, this was a case where, you know, we talked before about how growing up you did, one of you would have the NES and then your best friends or whatever would have the other, like Genesis or whatever. Mm-hmm. My best friend and I, we both had a ton of He-Man characters, but we always got different ones. So that way, when we get together to play, we had more of a selection, you know, so we could use all the bad guys. He had the Skeletor. He had a bunch of these other guys, and it was, you know, we had some pretty epic battles, but yeah, mm-hmm. it was great fun. I had a Triclops. Do you remember that character?
Yep.
Motu
was the guy I had.
Okay.
Had two heads.
Okay. Yep. I think I had that one too. I haven't seen him yet, but yeah, that's a cool franchise. Roboto. I had him. Do you remember that one? He was a robot that you could see the gears in his chest, like the cogs and stuff. And when you'd move them and stuff. Yeah. He was pretty cool. Man at Arms classic. I always thought it was weird that Man at Arms had no facial hair.
The guy's name that I was thinking of with the two heads was called Too Bad.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And his body would twist and he would throw punches. It was awesome.
Oh, do you remember Moss Man? My friend had him. He had this weird, like he was covered in that weird, like fuzzy fake moss, like super tighted. Like it wasn't long. It's like someone covered him in super glue and then rolled him in like dust.
You know, you can still buy him. He looks like it's like King Kong rolled up, made out of grass.
Exactly. Stinkor, my best friend, had that one too. Stinky. Nice. Boy, he smelled bad. Awesome. But yeah, anyways, I mean, that's a ton of He-Man news. But
you know why I said Motu? It's like Masters of the Universe. And I was looking at it, like all these sites had Motu next to the guy picture. I was like, I guess his name is freaking Motu. Nope. Yeah. I'm an idiot, folks. It was too bad.
Yeah, okay. But I'm excited for Kevin Smith. Yeah, yeah, what do we have? That's
kind of cool. Is there a timeline on that?
I haven't seen when it's going to be released, but I think it's within the next year that it's supposed to hit Netflix.
Well, I'm game. The other new series on Netflix that I'm interested in, I want to see, is the new Dark Crystal.
Oh yeah,
stuff.
I heard it's amazing, and the detail they threw in there is incredible. Okay, but I'd honestly have to watch the original. Just to remember it.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
As a kid, I remember seeing it and like I loved it. And then I watched it a few months ago with my kids. I'm like, what did I just watch? Better watch the series when it comes out.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, speaking of movies, let's talk about action movies. So you and Mac both discussed the best sci-fi movies going off of a list.
Right.
Men's Health Magazine came out with a list of the 20 best action movies ever made. They came out with that just this last February.
Oh, nice.
That'd be fun if we would talk about this. Now, do we want to start off at number 20 like you guys did?
Absolutely. Work our way up to the top.
All right. So number 20, they've got Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, I'm a huge fan of any of the Indiana Jones movies. I think they were fantastic.
Where does this rank? Where is Raiders on the list for you in with the Indiana Jones movies?
Oh boy! Now I'll probably get a lot of heat for it. One of my favorite movies as a kid was Temple of Doom.
Yep.
With Raiders being second place behind that, and then when Last Crusade came out, I thought that was fantastic. So
sure.
It's really hard to say now because if I watch them again, Raiders of the Lost Ark is so iconic and fantastic. Yeah.
I think for me, it's
almost like one of the best of the three.
Yeah. And I think for me, that's the one I think of the most because that's where you've got the, you know, the famous boulder scene and, you know, all of that stuff that you think of when you think of Indiana Jones right off the bat. Those are some of the scenes that get me. So
he's jumping out of subs and punching Nazis. It's just everything, which is also why I liked Last Crusade, I think was fantastic with Sean Connery too, but Raiders is up there for me. I'm still a temple, you know, something that you love so much as a kid that we watched it until the tape worn out. My brother and I, when we'd play Indiana Jones, I'd be short round. You get to be Indiana. But
no time for love, Dr. Jones.
Yeah. You call him Dr. Jones, doll.
Oh, yeah. I remember those lines.
Oh, man. It's awesome.
Love yeah, it's it, it's right. One I haven't watched it in forever. I need to watch it again. It's been a long time, but
yeah, I should just Just watch the trilogy again would be good.
So I'll warn you because...
Crystal Skull me.
Yeah, yeah. I'll warn you as we go through this list. This happened to me when I did the list with Mac of the sci-fi movies. Mm-hmm. I got done and I was like, oh man, I have like 12 movies I just need to watch again.
Some of these I need to rewatch.
Right.
Right now I'm currently rewatching Lethal Weapon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just for fun. One of my other buddies, when we were playing PUBG, we were quoting it. And I'm like, oh man, I haven't seen that in forever. I think I only saw the original one once. So yeah. Going back and rewatching that series for fun.
That's been a long time too.
That's more of a watch for 20 minutes on my lunch break and then.
Right. Right.
Go back to it. So I've been watching it for the last week. I'm only halfway through it. All right. Number 19, The Dark Knight, 2008.
Boy, I'm surprised this is, well, it's a top 20. There's a lot of great films, I think, in this genre. I'm kind of surprised it's that low, but at the same time, not really. I mean, it's a masterpiece, but as a straight-up action movie, not as much, maybe.
I think the genre that we're talking about here, action, is so huge. I mean, there's so many entries into it. This is a tough, I mean, you could probably mix and match these things, but...
Right.
And The Dark Knight was a fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just fantastic.
I don't think of it as an action movie, though. No? You know, it's a Batman movie.
Which is...
Well, it technically is action, but to me, there's a, like, in my mind, there's a distinction, like, the superhero movies, like, if you look now at the entire MCU, I don't think of those as action movies, even though they are. I don't know why there's a disconnect with me. It's like, oh, these are the comic movies.
I think the superhero movies kind of have started, they've kind of separated themselves, you know, sometimes probably in our minds from action movies. Like you think of an action movie, you think about Die Hard.
Yep. Number 18.
Consequentially is number 18. You know, you think about an action movie, it's just about the action and there's not so much emphasis on the fantasy portion of it. That it's taking you out of disbelief. You know what I mean?
Right. They're typically set in some sort of real world.
Right. And so, I mean, Raiders of the Lost Ark, that could happen. Dark Knight, that could happen. I mean, Batman's, he doesn't have superpowers.
Yeah. Neither did the Joker. So. It's just
although John McClane's pretty close.
Well, I think he's got Santa powers because it is a Christmas movie, right?
Yeah, it's got a Christmas movie, and he takes on Professor Snape. And,
yeah, a little elfin magic.
Yep, that's another one, you know, from the 80s, 80s action to definitely watch again. Now, number 17 also was on your last list because it's The Matrix. And between sci-fi and action, I think The Matrix is a huge game changer when it came to sci-fi. Big time.
For sure. How do you think is ranked? Number 17, you think that's about right?
You know, it's going to kind of depend on the rest of the movies that are in the list.
Yeah.
I think for starters, because there's so many movies, it's honorable just to be in this top 20.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? There's so many.
I think, you know, side tangent, I really do think this. I was saying this after Mac and I did that last episode. I think we, as in you and Jason and I, need to spend a little time and pick some genres and kind of get narrowed down with them, like you say, 80s action movies or sci-fi action, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we, as Digital Soup, need to start coming up with some of our own lists.
Yep.
You know, basically, like we each come up with our own top 20 and then mash them all up and see what, you know, what we agree on, what we don't agree on, whatever it is. Yeah. And
MASH is number 16. No,
yeah. MASH the movie. Was there
I think there was. But number 16 is Heat from 1995, which I have not seen.
I have, and it's been a long time. But if I remember right, because this is...
It's got to go on my list now.
Am I thinking of the right one? Is this has Val Kilmer as well? I can't remember. I'm trying to think, but if I remember right, Heat is the movie where Pacino first did his hoo-ah type noise. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, Heat is...
Yeah, it's...
Oh, no,
it's
Val Kilmer, De Niro, and Pacino, all three in one. And this was Val Kilmer in his prime.
A group of professional bank robbers start to feel the heat from police when they unknowingly leave a clue at their latest heist. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's got to go on the to-watch list. If it's in the top 20 action movies, definitely have to check it out.
Yeah, it's a very good film from what I remember. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I mean, you can't go wrong really when you think of like these classic heist movies. You know, you think of stuff like Point Break and movies like that. Point Break, right? Yeah, that's Swayze and Keanu and am I thinking of that right? Yeah. Does that sound right? Am I mixing up the name? I don't know why.
No, that's right.
That's right. Okay.
Johnny Utah. Yeah,
those kind of movies where you get kind of this, you know, heist. Reservoir Dogs is another one, although that's not so much an action movie as it is dialogue, what happens after the heist. But
yep. Suspense thriller is another one.
Yeah, you don't see that many of those kind of films anymore, and I love it.
Right on.
So 15.
Seven Samurai by Kurosawa. Akira Kurosawa.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard about this movie.
You have you? Good. I haven't. I've heard lots excellent. About it, but I've never seen it.
You've seen The Magnificent Seven?
Yep.
Ever? So there's two versions of The Magnificent Seven at least. One was back in the olden days, which was basically the Western cowboy version of Seven Samurai, literally the exact
same. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. They remade it because they liked the concept, so they remade it as a Western. So even the newer one, they've got the same. Basically, there's a village that's getting terrorized. Think of Three Amigos. Mm-hmm. You got a village that's getting terrorized by people. They go out and they hire some samurai to defend their village.
Okay.
And all these different personalities. Basically, there's six samurai, and one one of the guys is just kind of like this idiot fool samurai who keeps chasing, like following him around, and turns out he can actually fight and stuff like that. So it's a very very good movie. I mean, it's worth a watch. It's all black and white, and mm-hmm. Akira Kurosawa has been acclaimed, you know, with his cinematography and the way he shot things.
Right.
I don't know much.
I've heard
about
he
filmmaking.
Makes mad films. You get Mad the reference? Films. You don't get Mad the reference?
Films. No.
Like Kurosawa, I make mad films. Okay, I don't make films, but if I did, they'd have a samurai.
Oh, yeah. Now I get the...
the bare naked ladies in one ladies. Week.
Nice. Took me a while to find that connection. But yeah, you look at even the modern remake of Magnificent Seven is based on this movie from 1954. Definitely worth
I'll have
a watch.
To check
it's
that
very
out.
Cool.
Yeah.
The French Connection from 1971 is the number 14 on the list, which I've never seen. Have you?
No, this is one I remember. I see it pop up in a lot of lists. I hear a lot about it, but I have never actually watched it.
It says in this article that Gene Hackman was at the peak of his powers at this point. He hasn't even reached his final form.
71. Where does that fall in relation to him in like Superman with Christopher Reeves? Was that 80s or was
Superman
that late 70s?
Superman was 78.
Yeah, so not too far off, but Hackman's had some pretty amazing roles over the year too, I should say.
Great in The Replacements as the coach. All right, so Heat and The French Connection need to watch and rewatch Seven Samurai. I'm going to have to bookmark this list. Bullet number 13 from 1968. Yes, the car chases are as amazing as you've heard, but what's striking today is how well this holds up as a cop procedural. So this is that's a quote from this article here. Steve McQueen, never seen this one, have you?
Nope. I've seen clips of the car chases and different still frames and stuff, but I have not seen the full movie.
Muscle cars.
This was back, you know, a little before my time, but Jason, he must have been around, 15 or so, and back when this came out, 1968.
Yeah, he's probably 20.
20 maybe, yeah. So he might have seen this live action.
Probably upper 30s at the time.
Oh, he's going to edit all that up. The best part is we told him, we're going to try and do our best, you know, so that you can basically take this. You're not going to have to cut anything or edit anything. So I bet you he doesn't even listen to it before he posts it up.
Yeah, he won't even need to.
No.
Number 12, the one where you guys did not like the whiny kid, Eddie Furlong, which didn't bother me at all. Terminator 2, Judgment Day. This was another one that we ate in the VCR.
Oh, I know.
Because it was watched over and over again. It was so good, from the moody music to
the best
the way
soundtrack.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. I need you to close your boots on your motorcycle. And then he's racking that gun over, like, just by whipping it around in his hand.
Yep.
Yeah, Eddie Furlong was annoying in that movie, but then again, most kids are.
Yeah.
at that age. And they had lots of mullets. It was great.
Yeah. And you know, as much as he annoyed me, don't get me wrong, I watched this movie on repeat. I mean, I've seen it literally hundreds of times. I loved this film big time.
Yeah, me too. My brother and I after we watched this, we're just like, oh, I wish someday they would make like The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings using effects like this, because we'd never seen anything like it. The liquid metal stuff was so cool.
That T-1000, you know, I remember when they shot him with the grenade.
Oh,
and
he blows
up and he's just like big hole there and he's just like bouncing like a spring. Oh, that scene. Yep. I remember that and going, oh my God.
Between this one and Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
How they did the visuals, which still stand up to today and sometimes look better than CGI. Yep. Can still tell.
They did a
phenomenal job.
There was a scene in this one that's another one. It's a small scene, but it always sticks out in my head. When the T-1000 he's in the mental asylum, I think, searching for Sarah Connor. And someone's there taking a drink out of a milk carton. And he turns his arm into that big blade and just right through the milk carton into the head, kills him. And then you see that carton fall down and the blood mix and everything. That scene blew me away as a kid. I was just, this movie was so good.
All right, moving over to martial arts. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is number 11. Did you ever see this one?
Many, many times. It's sitting on the shelf behind me. I also saw it
many times.
Yeah, this.
I thought it was very good.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird pace, though. You know, it's not like jumping in. And, yeah, exactly. It is. It's not like jumping into, Die Hard or something like that. It's got a very poetic pace, kind of. But
here's the interesting thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
If I was a big kung fu movie fan, I know you were a fan of Crippled Masters. this one, I'm a huge Bruce Lee fan.
Yep.
And what Bruce Lee did to the martial arts movie industry was turn it on its head, because the original like Chinese made kung fu movies and stuff that were coming out of Hong Kong were kind of like this, where most of the action heroes had the ability to fly. They were almost like supernatural abilities with their martial arts and all that stuff.
Right.
What Bruce Lee did when he, you know, in the 70s and late 60s, when he came in with his movie Fist of Fury was the first one. Mm-hmm. He was just raw. Like, this is real fighting stuff. He's, you know, punching people through walls. There's no, there's no like fancy acrobatic tricks and stuff like that. I mean, obviously there's a little bit, but this was all like real martial arts stuff, no wire work, any of that stuff.
Yep.
And that was like a breath of fresh air in when it came to like kung fu movies. And a little later on in this list, we've got actually another one of his movies coming up here. But Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon to me was the return of that older style that he had kind of stepped on. But with now that when this one came out, they had the ability to remove all the wire work, you know, to make it look really cool.
Right.
You know, they're running through the treetops and stuff. It looked so amazing to see the way they did this. You know, you don't see any of the rigging or anything like that. You don't see any wire harnesses tied to them. So to me, that was just fantastic to have them do that. But I still, back to the roots, real action, I'll prefer a Bruce Lee movie.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I remember when this came out, I was working in the theater. And it was another one I'd sneak in and watch the whole time we had it. Now, it didn't stay in the theater very long for us up here, because even though everyone seemed to know about it, it wasn't really high on the priority list for people. You know, a lot of people looked at it and were just like, it's another kung fu movie, whatever. And I think this one really took off when it got to DVD. Because people started realizing that, yes, the fighting is cool and it's this different style, but it's a great story and it's very, very well shot, like beautiful to look at.
Yes, it definitely is. Mad Max Fury Road 2015 is the number 10 on the list.
I have not seen it.
it is actually quite good. Mostly practical effects. There's a little bit of CGI for one of the storms, I think. But as far as, I mean, are you familiar with Mad Max movies? Did you see the original ones with Gibson?
Yep.
So it pays a lot of homage to those. There's a scene in here where the first time you see the guy with the guitar, it is one of the coolest things I've ever seen in a movie.
Okay.
You'll have to watch it.
Yeah, it's definitely one on my list because, you know, even the cast was really good. I mean, you're looking at Tom Hardy, who is, you know, everyone knows him from everything. Bane, even though this one he had his face covered a lot of the time too, but in Bane and Dunkirk as Venom, I mean, he's just been in Inception. Yeah. He was in so many great films.
I would almost argue that he's not even really the main character of this.
Oh, I've heard Charlize Theron's character is kind of the...
Yeah.
She's
more central.
Yeah.
It's definitely cool to watch. I have it on... I think I bought it on my Amazon movies before I went to Vudu.
Okay.
But, yeah, this one is definitely worth the watch. I think you might dig it. Cinematography as well. So very cool. Aliens, number 9 from 1986. This was another one of my favorite movies. I cannot believe my parents let my brother and I watch this over and over again. The amount of like violence and blood fest that was in this.
Right. Well, even a fair amount of language, if I remember right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. 86, you would have been what? You weren't even
7.
10.
I didn't see it in the theaters, but right. We got a VCR, you know, and rented it.
So, you know, 89, somewhere in there, 90 probably when you watched it.
Someone may have helped us record a copy unless they had it on TV, but it was, I mean, they're in the helicopter and she turns around and it's there and all of a sudden just the blood hits the windshield.
Right.
I mean, it's the whole nine yards. Aliens was where the first one was more psychological thriller-ish.
Yep.
You know, it was the terror of this thing. Now you're familiar with it. But now there's just so many of them and you're with the Marines and they can't even handle it. You know, and you got like you guys were talking about, what's his name? Paul Reiser.
Yeah.
Is that the guy's name? The comedian.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember now what Paul, he's a comedian. He was in, Wings. No, what was the TV series he was in with Helen Hunt?
He was just in Stranger Things.
Stranger Things too. Yep.
But yeah, he was kind of the corporate guy, and maybe we can all sing some songs, you know, gather around the fire. Oh man, awesome. Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's
I think it belongs on this list.
Absolutely, and we had kind of touched on that when Mac and I were talking as far as a sci-fi movie, where, you know, same thing. That first one is sci-fi suspense, you know, thriller in a lot of ways, and the second one here with Aliens is much more of a space action movie. You know, sci-fi to be sure, but very much more in the thrill of the action and not as much of the suspense, you know, as the first one.
There's an awesome line in there. So the Space Marines wake up from stasis, you know, at the beginning. They've all been hibernating until they get to this colony. And they get out, and these guys are all like, if you watch it today, it's like overblown machismo, you know, like... The one female, I don't remember what her name is, the one female Marine that's on there. She's sitting there doing chin-ups. And I think it's Bill Paxton. Or no. Was it Bill Paxton's character? It's like, you ever get mistaken for a man? And she's like, no. Do you? Oh, so good of a burn. Just awesome. They captured a lot of the banter and stuff in there.
Right.
It was just well done.
So. It's on my list because I watched... after doing the episode with Mac, I did rewatch Alien. And
nice.
I watched that visually. It was, I mean, just stunning. In fact, it actually spurred me to do an episode about Ridley Scott's approach to suspense over on Adventures and Creativity. But I don't want to talk about that because Jason will yell at me for promoting my show. So
over at AICpod.com?
Yeah, that'd be the one.
Oh, okay. number 8, The Killer from 1989.
I don't know this one.
Neither do I. Chow Yun-fat, he was an assassin, and this is where John Woo began his obsession with dove-filled action scenes, which have been parodied everywhere from 21 Jump Street to Scary Movie 2. So, interesting. Yeah, I'll have to check that one out as well. Number 7. Another one of my absolute favorite movies of all time, Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
This was his first real break into American cinema, and Hollywood funded this thing. And he just shines in this movie. Bruce Lee is, nobody moves like him. Nobody fights like him. Nobody makes the, and he doesn't rely on guns. In fact, the whole story, have you seen this one?
Yep.
Okay. The whole story of just, they got to go to this island for this martial arts tournament to try to figure out what's going on. No guns are allowed there.
Mm-hmm.
Just awesome. Just awesome. Bruce Lee is just fantastic in this movie.
Yeah, this is one definitely when you look at a lot of the martial arts action films that came after it, there's a heavy influence in a lot of ways, you know, when you look at that. Even I would go so far as to say, and we've talked about it before, but season one of Daredevil on Netflix, when they did that, the way the fighting was handled there, it wasn't the same martial arts style. But just the way they portray it as real fighting, you know what I mean?
Yep.
There's not
high flying acrobatics, right. Nothing.
And that's a superhero. I mean, granted, his superpower is, you know, he's blind, so has heightened senses, but
I can hear really good.
Yeah, essentially, and he can feel the vibrations in the air, all this stuff. But the way they approach the fighting, though, very, very reminiscent because it's very real.
Based in reality, yeah. I mean, obviously, these are all Hollywood fights. So in real fights, you're not doing all these high flashy kicks and stuff like this. And it's all choreographed, but still grounded in reality. Now, that particular series that you're talking about had one of this fantastic long hallway fight scene.
Exactly.
That just, there's no cut away from it. I mean, the actor had to just been exhausted. I thought that was just
great. And that's a thing with the Daredevil series that I absolutely love, because there's another scene similar to that. I'm trying to remember what the setup for that is in season two, and I haven't watched season three yet, but these fights where you see him tiring, you know, you see the bad guys getting tired as they fight. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not just like this unlimited supply of energy, like, oh, that one's over, I'm back to full health. You know, they get beat up and they feel it for episode after episode.
Yep. All right. Number six definitely deserves its place in the top 10. We're talking John Wick.
Absolutely.
Excuse legendary me,
sneezing there.
BA.
Yeah. Well, this is another one. Grounded in reality, and the exhaustion is real as these fights go on.
And for clarity, when you and I are talking about grounded in reality, we mean like grounded in regular physics, no superpowers.
Right.
Not like this would actually happen reality.
Exactly. But
the thing with John Wick, I remember hearing about it coming out. I'm like, yeah, okay. It's John Wick. It's another action movie. But then you hear a little bit of, wow, do you guys see John Wick? Holy crap. Oh, really? And you watch it and you're like, okay, what's going to happen? This is awesome.
Exactly. Well, and I hadn't seen John Wick or John Wick 2 until we had started this show, and you and Jason were telling me, you haven't seen the second one yet? And I said, I haven't seen the first one yet. And you guys were giving me a hard time. So I watched them both then. And they both were amazing. And I've seen the third one in the theater, but I know you hadn't seen it yet. So
I'm not going to go watch that one.
Not going to go into that, but
it deserves its place here. Now, number five, I saw this in the theater. I thought it was fantastic, but I only saw it once. The Bourne Ultimatum. They put that on this list as number five. This is very much an action spy movie. I remember walking out going, wow, that was really good. I don't know if it deserves number five out of all time best action movies.
Right. But
somebody could argue it with me.
Yeah.
Did you see this one?
Nope, because remember, this was, who did I do the episode? That was with you guys, and we were talking about it, and I haven't seen any of the Bourne movies.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, number four, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation from 2015.
Do you see these?
I saw this one, but I honestly don't remember it.
I saw the first three, I think. First two for sure, but I think I saw the third one. Whichever one had the Metallica song in it when they're up in the up in the mountains playing in the video, I can't remember. But I saw the first two for sure, maybe the first three, and I haven't seen any since then. But I've heard
good movies. But
yeah, and I heard the last one that just came out last year, I think, with Henry Cavill as the co-star. I heard that was another phenomenal ride, and that's the one where
look at that one.
he broke it. Tom Cruise broke his ankle jumping from a building or something, and you can see it happen in the scene, and he finishes it, and I mean, does all his own stunts, learn to fly a helicopter, you know, all this stuff. It's pretty insane. I've heard they're good, but they're ones that, for whatever reason, I never get around to watching them.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not, I remember watching the Mission Impossible series as a kid. That's why I liked these when it first came out, but it's kind of, there's so many things to watch now.
Yeah.
I'm going to argue a bit with number three, The Raid 2 Redemption.
Oh.
Now, I can't remember if is this the one I saw or did I just see The Raid? Hmm. Now I got to look this up because this one, The Raid was all about, oh no, I didn't see Raid 2. I just saw the original The Raid. So I guess I didn't see this one. The first one is all about basically a SWAT team getting trapped in this big apartment building that's run by this these like gangsters.
Okay.
And it's phenomenal. It's all action packed, fighting, killing, bone breaking stuff.
Sure.
Sounds like Raid 2 is pretty good if it made number three here.
Hmm.
So
I haven't seen any of these. I don't know why.
Yeah, the first Raid was 2011. It's called The Raid Redemption. Even though, because they put a colon in the name after it, it sounds like it's a sequel, but it's the original one.
Okay.
Where did they shoot this one? I want to say it wasn't one of the normal, it's Indonesia.
Oh, okay.
That's where it is.
Okay.
So, they're definitely worth the watch if you're into action movies, martial arts stuff.
Sure.
Speaking of martial arts, number two, Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Volume one. Second film is more dialogue heavy, but the first half is essentially nonstop action, which is true.
Yeah, I enjoyed Kill Bill Volume 1 and Volume 2. I'm not sure that I would put it in my top 20 action movies.
Of all time?
Of all time.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, I enjoyed them, but I suppose the first one of the two, yeah, definitely more fight scenes, but I don't know. I enjoyed the movie, and don't get me wrong, I really like Tarantino's films, but I don't know that I would put this high, if even on this list at all.
Okay, I'm with you. Our number one.
Yeah. I have a problem with this.
You want a war?
John Rambo in First Blood, 1982.
I have a problem with this. Well, I believe Rambo should absolutely be on this list. I would not put First Blood as the one I'd put on this list.
It didn't have as much action as the other ones.
Nope. And it's a great film, but it's so much more about the struggle he's facing coming back from Vietnam, trying to fit back into society, than it is about action.
You don't think it's action to have to deal with Brian Dennehy?
I don't. Running through the Pacific Northwest or wherever they're at. No, I mean, I love the film. To me, the Rambo movie that I think of every time, the one I would put, if Rambo's going to be number one on this list, it would be Rambo 3.
Rambo 3.
For me, personally. He gets called over, has to rescue the general or whatever his name is, Major General. I can't remember.
In Afghanistan.
Yep, he's over somewhere over there fighting Russians and all other, you know, terrorist-type people over there. And to me, that's the one. I mean, it was straight-up action. It's where we got to see him running around looking jacked out of his mind. I mean, just like a He-Man character, basically. Then that's when we really got to see the iconic red bandana. He's in a cave, searing him, you know, cauterizing his own wounds with gunpowder from a bullet and, you know, sticking his, you know, famous knife in a fire and all this stuff. And that's where we get the line that he is your worst nightmare, you know, and that's that to me. Rambo 3 is the one that if I was going to put Rambo on top of this list, that's the one I'd put there.
What about not the new one that's coming out, because nobody's seen that one, but the previous one that came out in like 2008?
That's when he was Rambo. In like the Congo or something. Was that the one?
Thailand.
So yeah, somewhere where it's like he has to go save like this activist tour guide or environmentalist like
aid workers
group.
Yeah. Or something like that.
You know, I don't know. It was good, but it wasn't memorable to me. I mean, it was fun, but it doesn't stick out in my head as other than I see the pictures from that movie where he's on the back of that thing shooting that big gun with two hands. And I see that still frame from the movie used in memes a lot for cameras where he's there and they replaced it with a camera and a giant telephoto lens. And he's like yelling, shooting. that's the most memorable thing of that movie that I remember. I am excited for the new one though. I think that's going to be good.
He's back home. No Dennehy this time.
Nope.
Let me ask you this. What movies are missing from this list?
Oh man.
Put on your top. And it's hard to say what's going to be in the top 20, but
yeah, I honestly, I think it's a glaring mistake that there's no Bloodsport.
Ooh. Yeah. Bloodsport is great.
You know, I think
you could almost take the martial arts as a separate genre.
Absolutely. Cause then you also get into this weird area where you have films like Top Gun, which technically is an action movie. You know, I mean, it's airplanes and all that, but that's an iconic action movie. Red Dawn is another one that probably, although there wasn't a ton, there's action, but not a ton of action. That's a great movie, but there are scenes of action and just heart-wrenching, you know, moments. But boy, there's what else off the top of my head I'm trying to think. I mean, I there's so many from back in the 80s that's all I used to watch. I mean, even stuff like Iron Eagle and American Ninja and, God, what was Chuck Norris's big series?
Delta Force.
Delta Force. You had Steven Seagal movies, some of those early ones from him.
I loved Under Siege with Seagal.
Yeah. And what Marked for Death was another one I always remember enjoying a lot.
You know what I would put on here? I can't think of a lot because there's so many.
Yep.
But, Gladiator.
Yeah.
As far as a movie that's both an awesome movie plus has amazing action, and Taken.
Yeah. I could see that. Well, that's a good question, because for me, when I was thinking of what's missing, I automatically went back to those childhood days, you know, 80s, 90s. Mm-hmm. Thinking more recently,
Edge of Tomorrow. Oh, man.
That made the list over on the sci-fi side, but arguably just as good of an action film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Kingsman. I mean, there's so many.
Team America, World Police.
Yeah. Bridges of Madison County.
Right.
It's amazing.
Well, there's a good example, though. Speaking of Clint Eastwood, he's had a number of action films. The Dirty Harry series.
Oh, yeah.
He's had a number of Westerns. What about a film like Tombstone? That wasn't necessarily Clint Eastwood, but a Western action film.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I remember a lot of movies going back again to the 80s, 90s, a movie like Days of Thunder. Now, it's not action in the sense where we've got, you know, martial arts and violence and stuff like that. It's NASCAR racing, but it is high adrenaline and just tons of, I mean, amazing action sequences.
Right.
Whether they consider that an action movie or not, I don't know. Like you said, there's so many. It's such a action, just saying an action movie, it's a pretty broad category.
It's almost like it's a class of movie. And then there's, you know, there's like the whole scientific, the way the things are classified.
Yep.
What
genus and phylum. And
yeah. I'm trying to think of which level it would be. Species, genus, family, order, class, phylum, kingdom.
Right.
It's almost like this is a class, and then there's the suborders and different families. And I mean, what is the word I'm looking for is taxonomy.
Taxonomy, yeah.
What's the taxonomy of movies?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, when you look at this list, it seems apparent that they're very heavy on the martial arts side.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of weird how the rest of them fit in, to be honest. A lot of sci-fi. And
it's a big mix.
Yeah, there's a couple like cop action, cop dramas.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it.
I think overall they did a pretty decent job with this list because it covers a lot of different subgenres.
Right. Sampled a lot of, you know, give you a lot of things that are going to not be.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could break it down into like action fantasy.
Yep.
Action, you know, period pieces or, you know, like epics. Things like Gladiator or Braveheart.
Right.
You know,
well, that's another great one to put in there.
There's so many out there. you can just write articles on this stuff.
Exactly. And these people do. And so we're missing out by not doing our own, I think.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So any that they have on this list that you would absolutely think, you know what, this shouldn't be here?
I guess to me, not necessarily. I guess the I'm kind of with you a little bit on the Kill Bill, although, I mean, it is heavy martial arts action. It's an action movie.
It is.
But, you know, what are we classifying as the best? These are their, that's what, you know, these writers are saying.
Yep.
Now, if we look at a movie and we go, was this a good movie or not? True. Action aside,
right.
What's the story?
Yep.
You know, that's to me, it has a higher impact. That's why John Wick, that's got a really cool story.
Right.
You know, Enter the Dragon, the story's okay, but the action is so fantastic, and right. It's Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like you're like, oh, are they going to figure out what's going on the island?
Right.
No, you don't care. They made this movie to show off Bruce Lee's fighting skills.
Right. As long as you can see another fight, that's all that matters.
Terminator 2, for example, the story there with the future and coming back and fate and everything, I'm just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Seven Samurai, it's about saving a village and this group of people, you know what I mean? Anything that's just like just dumb, straight action for action. Like, what was the movie that we reviewed before?
Oh, Hardcore Henry.
Hardcore Henry. And that was just action for action's sake.
Yep.
Eh.
Nope. Doesn't make my top 20.
There's so many video games and movies and shows and TV series that have action in it.
Yep.
Give me a good story and then use that action to move that story forward.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I sound like a snobby film critic.
Well, that's good. I'm wearing off on you now.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Adam wants a story, not just flashy things.
And which no why, shaky cam.
Which is why the Star Wars prequels were so much crap thrown in your face, you can't even understand what's going on in the story. It was like, get out of here, Jar Jar.
Right.
No problem with the actor, but the character are terrible.
Yeah, he'll be back in the next one.
Probably. Jar Jar's Revenge. There's a I saw a preview for The Mandalorian. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
Yeah.
It actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it does.
So I'm going to hold out some hope. I watched Solo with my oldest daughter, who was like, this looks like it's going to be dumb. And at the end of it, she's like, that was pretty good.
Yeah. I enjoyed that movie.
I did too.
I thought they, you know, considering they had to try and fill such enormous shoes of, you know, Harrison Ford and his iconic portrayal of that character, I thought the kid did a good job.
He did. That said, this movie, that movie did not need to be made.
No.
You know, it was fun, but it wasn't necessary.
No. I mean, Rogue One is kind of the same thing.
Yep, same thing.
And I'm curious to see, because by all accounts, we've got, you know, the final movie in this whole series coming out now this December. There will be more Star Wars going forward, obviously. But I'm very curious to see what they do. If they let things kind of die off a little bit, focus on The Mandalorian, do some of that, because from everything I've heard, when they're going to relaunch and give us the next actual Star Wars film, it sounds like it's not going to be necessarily tied in with anything that we know at this point, or not necessarily carrying on the whole Skywalker, Kenobi, Darth Vader, you know, any of that tradition. It sounds like they're going to move away from those characters and do something else in that Star Wars universe.
Yeah. They should.
Yeah.
At this point.
It'll be weird, though, right?
I would love to see a Star Wars universe. Have we talked about this before on the show?
Maybe.
Where I'd like to see it where there's no stormtroopers. Get rid of the Empire. I mean, this universe is supposed to be so big, but we keep focusing on this group.
One faction.
I get it. I get it. Go back in time and show us the first time someone discovered the Force and they didn't have lightsabers. They just had swords. You know what I mean?
Right.
You could have an entire Star Wars Jedi movie without, you know, with about the Force, and it just basically turns into Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Right.
You know?
Oh, exactly.
Where it's like, oh, how are they doing that? Oh, they've got the Force.
Or
oh, it's midichlorians.
Yeah. Or you've got, like, kind of like what they did with Solo in a lot of ways, although they brought the Force into it. You've got stories like that where it's purely heist movies, or it's following, you know, a revolt on some outsider planet that's going on. You know, you could do
the makers
anything.
Of this stuff, they just can't help themselves from throwing in the nostalgia piece and like, hey, remember this from over here? Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you this thing. You know, Do something new, guys.
It's a money thing. I get it. I mean, they want to make sure there's some sort of element.
Right, but that's just it. As excited I am to hear that, like, He-Man's coming back, for instance, it's not something new. It's a throwback. It's a nostalgia thing. It's not like a here's something new and cool.
The interesting thing about that, and whether this is true or not, remains to be seen, but from what I've seen, they're basically, because the He-Man animated series actually did have a storyline that was ongoing, and it was always left kind of unresolved. And from what I understand, this new series that Kevin Smith is going to work on is finally going to bring a close to everything. It's going to resolve that storyline completely.
I've been waiting for the closure.
Yeah. Well, you know, like there's been little stuff that pops up here and there too. You remember seeing like how Skeletor looked before he got the skull face?
Mm.
You ever seen those? They're anime. They're part of the cartoon stuff.
I don't think I've seen that.
It's not, he's not actually like a skeleton. He was a king or something, you know, some kind of powerful, you know, in power type of person, like a king or a lord or something like that, and was doing something. I can't remember how it exactly goes, but it was basically a magic thing that he tried to steal power from this thing, and he got it, but it transformed him so he looked hideous like that forever. There's actually some fairly
like a Burr Palpatine.
Yeah, there's some fairly deep storytelling behind this silly little cartoon from the 80s we all remember. But
I believe it.
It's, you know, I saw an article recently that was talking about what was the film now? I just lost it. It's a recent film too. Anyways, what it was saying is that the film is good. But it's about the Joker movie. Saying, you know, the film looks so good and so well done and the story looks solid. It's a type of story that we would have seen in the 80s and 90s. You know, it's not a huge blockbuster story. We've talked before about how it seems like there's just none of these kind of, you know, B-grade, you know, the non-blockbusters that come out anymore.
Yeah,
and it's basically saying that because Hollywood is going to make a boatload of money with a story that should, by all intents and purposes, be one of those B-class movies. It's not a big, you know, superhero blockbuster, but because it's tied to a superhero name, they're saying it's effectively signaling the end of cinema as we know it, where, you know, there'll no longer be anything. Even Martin Scorsese has come out and he said that cinema as we know it, you know, going to the theater, having that experience, is all but dead from anything other than these blockbuster, you know, action, you know, superhero type movies. And everything else that's going to tell some really interesting stories and do some cool stuff is all going to go to streaming and home viewing. Which I don't know if you agree with that totally or if I do even, but I can see the point.
Yeah, I mean, based on my last experience in the theater that I told you about, I'd rather just stream at home.
Yep. There are some I'll pay the same
amount as the theater to have it streamed to my house, sure.
You know, and there are some that just, they need that big screen. It's so worth it, but so many of them now, you get a 50-plus inch TV at home. Good sound system. That's not that far off, you know.
Yep. Agreed.
So good list.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Are we doing app recommendations this week?
I didn't prepare anything.
Me neither.
So we can skip it. I've got a couple I could pull, but we'll save that for when Jason gets back.
No, we're just doing movie recommendations, which we just read a whole bunch of them.
Yep.
And also First Man. Yes. So what time is it?
It's time for a kickoff.
Oh, I don't have a geek off either.
Okay, let's skip that then.
It's time to realize that the two of us aren't going to debate it. Actually, though, I'll do this because I do have this handy. We'll throw just a couple questions like last week, these random questions. We'll throw some of these out and let me just close.
Otherwise, we're at over an hour already.
So. Yep, we're good. I'm just going to throw you one or two questions here. See what you think. Here we go. So try and find ones we didn't do. Let me ask you this one. What would be the absolute worst name you could think of to give your child? Like, if you were going to, you had a brand new baby coming, you had to name it. What would be the worst name? Yeah.
Didn't we do this one?
No, we did the sexiest name and unsexiest name.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. The worst name?
Yeah.
Probably Hitler.
Adolf. I mean, there's Osama. And any terrorist name is probably a bad one.
Probably. I mean, you just generally want to avoid those. In fact, I mean, after World War II,
yeah,
people stopped naming their kid Adolf.
Oh, yeah.
For real.
Well, I believe it.
I'm going to go with that one.
Okay. Good answer. Good answer.
Still terrible.
Okay. Here's one, and that's kind of fitting for you, because I know when it comes to sports, you know, you don't mind them, but they're not your go-to jam. So what sport would be the funniest to add a mandatory amount of alcohol to?
Funniest to watch?
Yeah.
Probably hockey.
Oh, drunken hockey?
think about being on the skates. And pretty soon you got people just, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you think of like
the fights would be sloppier.
Yeah.
Can't hit the puck with a stick.
Well, you think of a sport like baseball or basketball. You get those guys drunk, it's just going to be annoying to watch because, you know, no one can hit the ball. No one can. You can go watch Bar League softball if you want to see that. But yeah, hockey, get these people flying around.
Everyone's on skates right now.
Right. And they're just like half in the room spins, you know? All right. One last one for you.
All right.
Make you think a little bit. What two totally normal things become really weird if you do them back to back? So like, you know, I don't know, brushing your teeth and cleaning a toilet, or, you know,
I'm gonna have to take a second on this one.
Yeah.
What two totally normal things would be weird?
Really weird doing them back to back. Oh, I should have asked this next question. I just realized I was thinking about it as I was looking at this and thinking, oh, I love it. It's kind of similar where I like to do this at the store every now and then, is buying random things. But yeah, you know, the next question was, what set of items could you buy that would make the cashier the most uncomfortable?
Oh, boy.
But yeah, that's not the question. Two totally normal things become really weird if you do them back to back.
I can't think of anything, Dave. I'm honest.
Oh, man. You're too normal.
I'm under pressure. Hold on. we'll have to edit.
While you're thinking, what we'll do is we'll remind people that you can go out, if you enjoy the Digital Soup podcast and you want to hear more, you want to help us out. We're not asking for money, but if you want to throw us a tip, you can head right over to patreon.com/digitalsouppodcast. Yeah. So patreon.com/digitalsouppodcast. We have three levels. At the dollar a month level, you'll get a shout out on the show, just like we gave Jeff and Vincent a few weeks ago. At the second level package, $2 or more a month, get a shout out on the show, and you get to pick a future super review for us to watch. A lot of fun could be had there, but remember, keep that, you know, keep it family friendly-ish. We'll watch rated R movies, but we don't need any X-rated stuff coming in here. And lastly, at the level 3 package, which is just $3 or more a month, if you throw us a tip for that, you're going to get that shout out on the show. You're going to get to suggest a super review, and we're going to set it up so you can call into the show for a segment, chat with us about, you know, whatever topic you want to talk about, jump into a geek off if you want, whatever it might be. And so that's kind of the top tier there. And absolutely appreciate any support anyone has. If you want to, you know, throw us some coffee money, or, you know, beer money, or whatever you want to call it, a little tip, because we just like to know that we're scratching that itch for you each week with our geeky content, right?
Weird.
Scratching. Speaking of two normal things.
Probably I'm going to go with the old shower and then use the toilet.
Shower and toilet? Not the other way around? So using the toilet and then getting in the shower, perfectly normal.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
Using the shower and then having to use the toilet, sometimes required, but makes you want to get right back in the shower.
It does. I don't know why. Yeah, I it's not like you don't wipe your butt. I mean.
But still, you were just clean.
Yeah, if you just get out of the shower, then sitting down on a toilet.
It's because we as Americans don't use bidets.
True. That's very true. What about like eating a sandwich immediately after getting off the toilet? Like not on the toilet. I'm not talking about eating in the bathroom. That'd be disgusting.
Well, sometimes you're hungry after you go.
you've made some room.
I mean, let's be honest. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Listeners, if you guys
super slamming friends, some espresso and trying to go to bed, I don't know.
Yeah, and then sadly, that's pretty normal for a lot of people. You're trying to keep enough energy to keep going and get work done, and then you finish it up, and it's like right to bed. Especially parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
That definitely happens. Well, that's a fun one. I'm happy to do these lists. I love these. Listeners, let us know what you think, because you know, we try and keep things fresh. We try and keep things here so that you can come back later and listen as well. And you probably have noticed that a lot of the news stories, you know, the regular stories we've been doing aren't necessarily just this week, this happened. You know, we get those now and then because there's stuff that we're excited about that's cool, but we want to try and do our best to make sure content is, you know, something you can go back and listen to 6 months later and still enjoy.
So they'll go, what am I listening to this for?
Yeah. Of course I know Apple came out with that watch like 4 months ago.
This is old news.
Exactly. Well, I think it's about that time.
It is. It's time to put the lid on this soup. So, guys, be sure to listen and subscribe to us over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Music, anywhere you can listen to podcasts. And, of course, head on over to Digital Soup Podcast to find out anything about our show, see our articles, the whole nine yards. And make sure to follow us on Twitter with our new old handle.
Nope, it's the new handle.
Still Digital Soupcast?
Okay. Digital Soupcast.
At yep. Digital Soupcast.
All that happened there, just to clarify, we were able to finally, after all this time, they finally got back to us and said, oh, we fixed the problem, that was our mistake, and gave us our old account, unlocked it again. So, problem solved. Well, now we got this new one, so we were able to just move that username of Digital Soupcast over to our existing account, the one we've had this whole time. So all of our followers, everything else is still intact and in place.
So if you're already following us at Digital Soupcast, you don't have to do anything.
Correct.
You're totally fine and cool. And if you were following us before, you're still following us now. So
exactly.
It's all good.
Yep.
Like Dave said, if you like what you hear, head on over to our Patreon page. Leave us a tip. If you'd like, maybe we'll do something crazy and fun with that. It should be cool. So anybody excited for the next Big Lebowski review? I know I am.
Oh, yeah.
That should be pretty cool. So that's going to be coming up in future episodes. But again, we're sorry that Jason couldn't make it today, mm-hmm. but I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And as always, from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, all you listeners, have an awesome week. We'll catch you next time.
Take care, guys.
Later, Gators. Me, <I'm> Jason. Me.
It's the Digital Soup Podcast.